dream last night. A vision. I saw a world full of people. Everybody was dancing and screaming loud. They were just there to listen to the music. It was deep. It was underground. Let's turn the world into a dance floor.
Are you guys ready for a state of trance? Put your hands in the air, come on!
This is a State of Trance podcast.
Yes, and welcome once again to a new podcast. And this week in the studio, a guy that I haven't seen since, I think, A State of Trance Mexico in 2019.
It's been a while.
Or maybe a little bit between the scenes somewhere in Utrecht for 950.
Yeah.
Luke Bond, welcome.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
How are you doing, man?
I'm good, yeah. I'm feeling better now that we're kind of like moving past the heavy COVID, but I'm trying to stay optimistic about it all, you know, so. But yeah, it's good to be back here and see everyone here in the studio and play some music as well.
See anything else besides your studio walls? Studio walls, bedroom walls, and then back and forth for 3 years, basically.
I've been doing that for 10 years, so.
nothing new.
Nothing new for me, really, yeah.
That's one of the things, all jokes aside, of course, but I think in between gamers and producers, everybody was just saying, yeah, my life didn't change that much, to be honest.
It's like introverts are really loving life right now. They have been, yeah.
Absolutely. So, we just want to get to know you a little bit better on this episode in the next 30 minutes. I also have some questions that were submitted through Instagram and Twitter by fans. We asked them to submit some questions to you. But let's begin at the very beginning. I always start with this. What made you start DJing or start producing? There was always this moment in your life that you were like, wow, what is this? I want to do this as well.
Yeah. See, I started making music when I was really young. So I think I started dabbling in production when I was about 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sort of messing around. I was listening to a lot of UK happy hardcore back then because a lot of it at the time, around 2005, 2006, was heavily influenced by trance. So I was really liking it. And then I thought to myself, why don't I just listen to trance? So I started listening to trance music. And I think actually the first big show I actually went to was Armin van Buuren at Global Gathering in 2008 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the first, like when I saw trance on a big stage and I saw it to a big audience and seeing how sort of epic it can be. And I think at that point, whereas I was like, right, I want to really take this more seriously and actually really go full on with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started really spending, like, I dropped out of college because I was in the library on my laptop, making music, getting in trouble because I should have been doing my work, but I had like Logic open or something back then. And I was just like, they're like, what are you doing? This is not what you should be doing. So back then, yeah, I got into making music and then I've been doing it pretty much all the time ever since.
So you just started listening to the radio, listening to songs, and then you were triggered by sort of a gig and you were like, okay, I want to do this as well.
Yeah. I think it was like, I was really loving it. Like I listened to it on my like iPod at the time. And then, when I saw it live and seeing like how powerful it can be in front of a large audience, that was when I was like, okay, right. I want to do this. This is what I want to spend my life doing. So yeah, that was kind of what sealed the deal for me.
And then you started throwing away your college.
Pretty much, yeah.
By making music.
Dropped out of school. I was working I went into full-time work so I could afford the hobby at the time.
Yeah.
And then I was doing that for a few years and now I'm doing music production full-time. I'm making my own music. I work with a lot of other artists, helping them develop their own music as well. So I co-produce for a lot of other people as well and write.
Mm-hmm.
So I spend all my time pretty much in the studio working on something because I like to keep myself stimulated and creatively stimulated. So, yeah.
Okay, interesting. And how long did it take you to, from the moment that you sat in the library at school where you're supposed to do homework?
Yeah.
That's when you started making music. How long did it take you before you got the first tune that you were like, okay, this is something that I want to send to a label?
So I remember my first release. It was a song called Atlantis with a group called Neptune Project who were local guys to me. Mm-hmm. They were really good friends and still are. And we made this song called Atlantis that I think Faddy from Alien Feeder really, really liked. I mean, I think it was like 2009 or 2010. I was like 19 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it got signed to FSOE and he played it in like every single set. And that was like, okay, that kind of just made me want to just go full, keep doing more, keep making
that
more.
That was actually your first
release.
First release. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are worse ways to start.
Yeah. I mean, I had this like belief that like, I didn't want to just put out anything unless I knew it was like, had some sort of special, it felt special. Like I would rather just not put the music out unless it's like like on that level, because I was comparing myself to all the other releases at the time, and I was like, if it's not on that level, if or above, and I still say that to people now, like if your music's not on the level of what other people are doing, and if not better, that I just don't hold back on it and wait until it's like ready, you know.
I think this is actually one of the best advice you can give,
because there's a lot of music out there that's, I wouldn't say it's bad, because music is entirely subjective, but I would say underproduced. Mm-hmm. Like it needs more production polish, or it needs a bit more work. I see a lot of that. I get a lot of promos all the time with music like that, and I'm like, you're just better off waiting, because people are so keen to get their music out there because they want to kind of get into the scene as quickly as they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just wait, because you'll do yourself a lot more favors by actually coming in with a very strong piece of music. You're going to turn more heads that way as well.
I think it's that's one of the hardest things, like saying to yourself, a tune is done as well, especially if you're starting out. Then I think I always, one of the advice that I give, and I'm not the best producer in the world either, I will never say that, but try to compare your music to something like a reference track. Try to compare it to one of your favorite artists and mm-hmm. see how it sounds like.
Yeah, I recommend that to people all the time. What I would suggest people do is if whatever DAW they're using, whether it's Logic, Ableton, Cubase, whatever, get your favorite song and put it into your DAW, right? Put it at the top, type in reference and like... slice it up into parts, slice it up into the bass line, the melody, the different sort of arrangement parts, and label each part. You can use that as a reference for your track, and you can just jump back to it. You can solo it and go back to it and keep listening. Does your track sound as good as that? And you can also use it for an arrangement reference as well, yep. which a lot of people get stuck on. So, you know, I recommend, I still do it now, actually. If I'm playing in like a genre that I'm not as familiar with, or I want to kind of do something a little bit different to what I've been doing before, I'll throw in a track that I'm really feeling and I'll be like, oh, I'll do it myself. So
yeah, because I think the first time when you do that, you feel like you're cheating, but you're absolutely
you're not cheating.
No, because you just, you get inspired how a track is arranged,
yeah,
how it sounds. And I think that's the way to do it. I do it in Ableton as well. I put the markers, you know?
That's it, yeah.
So you put the markers, and one of the things that I got stuck in the past with is actually finishing tunes. Yeah. You have so many YouTube videos about it. Mm-hmm. But if you put in what you say, reference track, you put the markers, this is the intro part, this is the bridge, intro to vocals, and here comes the lead, here comes the break, here comes the build up, here comes the drop.
Exactly.
Then you're already halfway there.
And there's probably a good chance that the person you're referencing did the exact same thing 100%. With another track.
100%.
So yeah, I wouldn't like beat yourself up or feel like, you know, you're cheating or anything, because they probably did exactly the same thing.
What do you think is the mother of all reference tracks?
If you go back. Yeah, like the original Patient Zero reference track. I'd be really interested to hear what it is. Yeah.
So you signed your first tune with the Future Sound of Egypt in 2009, 2010, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was like 2009 coming into 2000. I think I signed it in 2009, but it didn't come out until 2010, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you stayed on the uplifting path for quite a long time.
Yeah, I was listening to a lot. At the time I was listening to a lot of like 140 trance, and I was just really inspired by what I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
So I released a couple more. I did a track called Amaze, which was really popular with Alien Feeler. That was on FSOE. And then around 2011, 2012, I was really inspired by what I was hearing out of Garuda with Gareth Emery's label. Mm-hmm. They were kind of like doing this hybrid of like trance and house music. And it just had a very unique sound to it. And I was like listening to it. I was going to the shows and listening to it live. And I was like, this stuff's really edgy. Like it sounds really fresh. Like I'm not hearing anything like this from anywhere else right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I started producing stuff like that myself, and I got signed to Garuda. So I was doing a lot of stuff on the Garuda label for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I was doing a lot of vocal trance, and I was putting stuff out there. And those releases did well. I did a track called On Fire, which was really popular at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that. And then I think around 2016, 17, I decided to take a bit of a break. I was just feeling a bit burnt out at that point. I wasn't really sure.
Was it also because you were, in the meantime, you started picking up engineering as well for other people, I guess?
Yeah, there was a point when I wanted to support myself more. So I was doing a lot of engineering work. And at the time, I was struggling how to sort of balance myself creatively. So I was like using all my creative energy for other people's musics. And then by the time I got to my music, I was just drained. So I didn't really know how to manage it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So my own music was taking a bit of a backstep at that point. And I decided just to take a bit of time out and not do any. So I took like most of like 2017, I didn't put anything out. I just decided to have a bit of a break. And I was just like, I need to reset.
Yeah.
And I need to figure out what I'm about, what I enjoyed. And then I decided to completely change my workflow as well. I was using Logic for a long time to make music. And at that point, I switched to Ableton. Mm-hmm. And I found like I was really inspired by how easy it is to manipulate sound and how fast. Like mm-hmm. I'd never felt like that way before in Logic. It took me a long time to edit stuff in Logic and it kind of like put me off in certain ways.
What I hate about Logic is that when you throw in a loop, that it doesn't go to the right grid or anything.
No, it like... Yeah, they have this thing called like smart grid on it, but it's not very smart. Like it never quite puts it on the line. It's like right next to it. And I found myself just like trying to adjust it all the time. And I was like, it drove me mad. Whereas Ableton, bam, straight on, perfect. Yeah.
So you jumped into Ableton and then what happened?
So I was basically experimenting in Ableton for about 6 months. And then the first track I actually made on it that actually got a release was a remix of Isla Isla that I did with Ben Nicky.
Oh yeah.
Which did really well. Like
it charted in like normal charts.
It was huge. Like it's such an iconic song that no one had ever remixed. And I was like, we did a very simple like offbeat side like bootleg. It felt more like a bootleg than a remix of mm-hmm. anything. But that was the first track I did in it, and I was like, okay. And it was really easy to make as well. Like being Ableton, it was like a really breeze to make. And after that, I was like, right, now that I'm really like comfortable in Ableton, I want to get a little bit more experimental now and do something a bit out there that no one's not really done before. Mm-hmm. So I started working on this song called You, which was kind of like a hybrid of psytrance, big room EDM.
It has everything.
Hard style. I was just like, at the time, I was listening to like a lot of people like Kashmir and all that, who's a really like incredible producer. And he was making a lot of tutorials and stuff. And I was like seeing how he works. And I wanted to apply some of that knowledge to my own music. So I wrote this melody, like a really catchy sort of like Celtic kind of melody, I guess, like in triplets and all this kind of stuff. And I made it into this track. I had no idea where to send it because I wasn't signed to a label. Like I wasn't signed anywhere. So I just sent it to my friend James at Armada. So I had no idea whether Armada
is this good? Is it not good?
Like what is you this? Guys into this? Like, I don't know if you guys would even take this. Like I just sent it on the off chance. And then like 3 weeks later, I get a message back from saying, Armin loves it. He wants to play it in every set. We want to sign this to Armind. And I'm like, what? And I was thinking at the time, I was like, Armin's into this? Like, I was like, and then I realized Armin obviously plays a lot of the, you know, he has his main stage kind of sets, which that's his kind of music kind of fits into. And I didn't really think about that at the time. And then, so I signed it to Armind. And then Armin just played it pretty much every festival set throughout that summer. Mm-hmm. And I was just like mind blown by it. Like it was a completely new direction for me that I'd never done before. And I was, you know, had a lot of fun making it. So I started making a few more tracks kind of in that style. And then Armin was really into them and took every one. So he was playing all of them there basically over the course of like 2018, 2019. And then
Revolution came about.
Yeah. So Revolution kind of started out as an idea, as a follow-up to You. And I knew how much Armin liked You. So I thought, do you know what? Maybe I'll send it to him and just see if he's, you know, like a rough demo of it and see whether or not he'll take it and see or whether he wants to sign it or whether, you know, even potentially a collab, you know. And I sent it to the demo. 2 weeks later, I get a message back saying, yeah, I love this. Let's work on this. So we spent like a few weeks like going back and forth. We basically just sent the Ableton project back to each other, back and forth. And he added some bits. I added some bits, cleaned it all up. And we had no vocal on it at the time. I think Armin had this vocal that just said Revolution. It was like a voice recording of some kind. I wasn't sure where it's from or anything. But at the time, I was writing a lot of music with my friend Cara.
Amazing vocalist from LA.
Yeah, she's a great vocalist. She's really talented. She's wrote stuff for loads of people. And we were working on a lot of other projects. Like we wrote a bunch of other trance stuff together. She really helped me out, to be honest. She did me a lot of favors by offering, like just writing really, she's working with a bunch of different vocalists and wrote me some really good music that we wrote together.
Yeah, I said vocalist, but I should say vocalist, writer, producer. She does everything.
She's the jack of all trades. Yeah, she's one of the very rare people that can do it all.
Together with Reed, of course.
Yeah, Reed, her partner, he's an incredible producer. Like that guy, what he doesn't know about producing is not worth knowing.
Follow their channels on YouTube and Instagram because I use a lot of their tips, to be honest.
Yeah, so. Reed Stefan and I think it's I Am Cara Music. They both have TikToks as well where they offer loads of production
and
advice.
Whole loops.
Whole loops as well, yeah.
Okay, that's enough commercial.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are amazing.
They owe me something for doing that.
So you sent it to them and then what happened?
Yeah, well, basically, I told her I was doing a song with Armin and she was like, I sent her the demo of it. So what do you think of this? What me and Armin are working on. And she goes, oh, I love it. Like, I'd love to have a go, have writing something for it. Like, and seeing if Armin would be interested in it. So I said, yeah, sure. Have a go at it. And I'll, if, you know, I'll send it to Armin and see what you think. So she wrote that Revolution hook line that we all know from the song, like literally first take, nailed it. Like the first take is what's on the song. And I sent it to Armin and literally like, I think a day later, he was like, this is amazing. We need to use this. So we put that on the song. And then like, I think a week after that, bam, it was finished. And then, yeah, it was a bit of a banger.
Yeah. That's a bit of an understatement, sir.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So you did that. And then on the other side, you started some other things as well, because on Luc Bond, you had this sound and then you had Militia as well.
Yeah.
Is the point?
Yeah.
That's a question from Tone Ross, actually. Can we expect some new Militia music in the future?
Yeah. So Militia was like a little side project that I started with Standerwick, because yeah. Standerwick kind of, he was kind of doing all this 138 stuff, but he was like, I want to make other stuff.
Yeah.
And I was doing the kind of sound he was interested in doing at that point. So I was like, me and Standerwick are good friends. So I was like, why don't we just make a project and do it together? So we did. And we made this track called Take Me There. And we just wrote this really, it's kind of like similar to what I was doing, but Ian's like, he's such a talented producer. Like
insane.
He's yeah. the way he handles, like he's the sort of detail he goes into with like drums and stuff like that. And, so we made this track called Take Me There and sent that to Armin as well. And Armin loved that one as well. So it ended up on the festival circuit as well. So
is this something you're going to do in the future again with Ian?
I think so. Yeah, I'd love to. I'm more than game for it. I'd have to speak to Ian about it and see whether he's interested or not. I'm sure he would be. We did like a follow-up track for it. But yeah, I'm game. So if he is, let's do it.
Yeah, so you had your own stuff. You did Militia and then you started the Bond alias as well.
Yeah. So I started the Bond alias during lockdown about a year ago, because my Luc Bond stuff, it was kind of moving away from the EDM big room sound that I was doing. Because I felt like I'd done enough in that sound. I wanted to try something different. So Luc Bond stuff was kind of going towards like more influenced by progressive house, melodic techno. I'm really liking the sort of future rave stuff at the moment as well. So I think the Luc Bond stuff's going to be a hybrid of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff I've been putting out have been very sort of more vocally stuff. So I want to kind of make a few more like bangers style stuff, yeah. like for the festivals, which is what I'm going to work on over the next few weeks. But the Bond project was basically a 138 project. I found myself when I was writing songs, I was like, oh man, this melody would work really good in 138. And I used to love I used to put out 138 quite a lot. So I was like, I want to create a separate project for 138 so I can, you know, separate it. So I basically started, I think the first thing I did under the Bond project was remix Thomas Bronswear Constellation, which was a really, I love that. I love that track. A lot of the influence for the Bond project came from like a lot of the trance I was listening to between about 2007 to 2010.
Yeah.
There was a period around then of some really like epic tracks in the sort of 140 genre that you don't kind of hear as much anymore.
With Finn, Thomas Bronswaar, Benno de Jong,
yeah.
Cliff Coenraad, who else was there? Galen Baer,
yeah.
Johnny Jungfist. Like the golden generation.
Yeah, there was a really like, it was kind of like at that point, trance was going through a bit of a resurgence from how it was, you know, back in the early 2000s to this. And I really liked that sound because that's what I was listening to when I got into it. So I wanted to kind of like take what I liked about that and put it onto a more modernized 2021, 2022 production style. And that's basically what the Bond project is. It's just 138 melodic uplifting. It's no ifs or buts. If you hear a Bond release coming up on Release Radar on Spotify, you know it's going to be an uplifting trance track.
Yeah.
So that's basically what that project is. Whereas the Luc Bond stuff, it could be a bit of anything. You know, it takes a lot of influences.
Yeah, that answers the question of Ale Silant that wanted to know why did you start the Bond alias? Well, you just explained it.
Yeah.
Ziad also had a question about Bond. What are your future plans for it?
Right now is to keep the music coming out. I definitely want to tour it at some point. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do shows just an hour or two of just 138, 140 trance.
I would love to do that too.
Yeah. just do it. I definitely want to tour it. Obviously it's difficult at the moment where we've got all these lockdowns and no one's quite sure what's going on. It's very hard to predict stuff like that at the moment, mm-hmm. but hopefully once things start to settle a bit, I definitely want to start getting some shows out there. Just a Bond set.
I would love to do that as well. I've always been wondering, like, what would I do if I would play the Who's Afraid of 138 stage in Utrecht?
Have you ever done it before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
But in the meantime, I saved up so many uplifting tracks, of remixes of my own tracks. Mm-hmm. I did some Twitch streams and I think I can fill like 4 hours with just uplifting mix.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I love that sound as well. Like, of course, I play it in hour number two of State of Trance every week as well. Mm. Even though I don't produce it myself, I still enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
I have another question for you. This one is from Fadi in Silhouette. I already mentioned it on air as well. In 2016, you reached number 8 in the State of Trance Top 50 with Million Voices.
Yeah.
So he wants to know, do you have any interesting memories about your collab creating it with Ali and Philo? Of course, at Artie Geller as well.
Let me try and remember. It was what? So it started out actually as a really rough demo. So the melody, like the plucks you hear on that track, was basically what it started with. I wrote that little melody. And I just sent it was just an instrumental. It was like a rough instrumental that I made. The final track's kind of similar, but it was like a rough demo. Mm-hmm. I sent it over to Fadi. He absolutely loved it. He's like, right, we need to do something with this.
Listen, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He said exactly that. Yeah. he says, we need to get a vocalist on this. And I was like, yeah, we do. And he mentioned Audrey Gallagher and I was like, she's put out some amazing songs over the years. So I'd absolutely love that. So he contacted her. She wrote the Million Voices vocal for it, sent it back to me. And I was like, okay, this is a big tune. That's how that came about. It was pretty quick. I think I made like a rough demo and then he kind of put his kick and bass over it and added some, his like sort of go-to Ali and Fela style sounds on top of it, some acid sounds and all that kind of stuff. And then it came to bear pretty quickly from what I remember. Like it was within like a week or something, it was done.
It sounds like every like big track came about really quickly.
Yeah, I find that, yeah. Like they just come out of nowhere. Like people, like you just make it because you're like so involved in the process of, you're probably feeling so inspired as you make it, you just churn it out. Yeah. So it just comes out, yeah.
I love that, man. When you hit that inspiration, like I want to keep on going all night if you want to. Yeah.
It's when you're like in the studio and you look at the clock and it's like 5 a.m. You're like, oh, I better go to bed.
And then yeah. 6 hours later, you open a project. You're like, what the hell was I thinking?
Oh, yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, that happens too.
But what I wonder, like you have so many different things going on right now. And I know out of experience as well that at a certain point during the day, your inspiration is gone. Your tank is empty. How do you do that with engineering songs for other people as well, doing creative work, but also creating these different genres for yourself as well? How do you do that?
Yeah, sometimes I ask myself.
Is it just a talent or a gift that you can keep going?
I really like, I never struggle when I'm in the studio to make something. I don't know why. If I sit down, something will come out. Mm-hmm. There are points though sometimes when I'm like, I don't know what I want to make. But once I've kind of got a rough idea about what I want to do, once I just sit down and start doing something, I can just do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I started touring more frequently, I probably would take a bit of a step back on like doing so much music for other people and all that kind of stuff. I'd still do it, of course, for like, you know, certain people, but I wouldn't be as like doing it all the time as much. Mm-hmm. I think it would be just, you wouldn't be able to do talk. Touring is extremely exhausting, you know, so.
Do you produce on the road as well, normally?
I have done. I definitely much prefer being sat in front of a desk with a big screen and yes. A pair of speakers. I can produce on the road. I find it hard though if I'm really tired to be creative, like anyone would, you know. Like, I need to have like a good night's sleep, and I need to be like, you know, go down the gym and exercise, and you know, get everything sort of flowing and feeling good in my headspace before I can do my best work. Mm-hmm. But I have done before. I've been on tour and I've come up with some ideas for stuff like in hotel rooms and stuff.
I have such a hard time producing.
Yeah, some people can do it. And I'm like...
Yeah, I saw Giuseppe Ottaviani 2 weeks ago that he was Fade Away, his new tune, which is, the original is 125, 126. Mm-hmm. And he created an uplifting mix in just his hotel room. Like, how do you do that, man?
Yeah, it's like jet lag. Respect. I just want to sleep or attempt to sleep anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Next question. CPez27 wants to know, who would you love to collaborate in the future with?
Ooh. That's actually a really good question. I don't do many collabs very often, to be honest, because I just like to do my own thing. I'm kind of a bit of a selfish producer where I just like to just get involved and just head down. But if someone sends me a track and I think, oh, that's awesome, I will definitely collab on it. Like if someone sends me a piece of like a demo, or like a work in progress they've started, I'd love to get involved. But in terms of like, who would I like to, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. Because sometimes like it depends. Like I like working with people I get on with and I like, have fun with. Like when I'm in the studio, I'm really goofy. Like I mess around. I'm like, when I'm working with friends and stuff, I just want to have a laugh.
Yeah, that's most important.
Yeah, I just want to have a laugh. I don't take it too seriously. I just want to have a load of fun. If anything, I've been walked into sessions before and I've been like really goofy and like goofing around in the studio. People are like, People are like, we were expecting
you to
be-
We are doing some serious stuff here, sir.
not even that. People are like, we were expecting you to be quite like stuck up and like, you know, but you're really chill and fun and everyone's like, we're having a great time. So I just, it's all, for me, it's all about fun. So if whoever I can find who's fun and like, you know, I'm down. So,
but you still have to get some work done, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
In the meantime, and of course.
Eventually, yeah.
So you don't have any specific person that you would like, okay, I would love to do.
I don't know. We should do a collab.
Yeah,
we should. I think we should, while I'm here, we should get in that studio and come up
with
something.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that. Sounds good.
I think it's a bit overdue, yeah.
Another question. You already did one, so I'm curious about this. Transfixation wants to know if you could remix any Zeros tune, which would it be? You did Thomas Bronswire, of course, which, let's say, a classic.
Oh.
I know that you mentioned something.
Okay, yeah. So I am actually working on a remix of Syd Thesia, Fly Away, at the moment, which is a huge classic. And I was
one of the most iconic tunes in trance.
Yeah, if you were to like put trance up on a wall and describe it, you'd play that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing a remix of that. I've been very careful about how I'm going to do it. At first, I was thinking, it could be a good Bond remix. But to be honest, I didn't want to just take that melody and slap a 138 bass line under it, a kick drum.
It's too easy.
Yeah. It's too easy. It's not like, it's been done millions of times before. People have bootlegged that song and probably done it a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to do that. I kind of think I want to take it in a more edgier, darker section, like a more influenced by melodic techno or trance 3.0,
mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of like take it in a very different direction, but maintaining that kind of like the vibe it originally gave out to people, you know. So that's something that I'm working on at the moment.
Did you start already or?
I haven't started yet. I've got the parts for it. I'm probably going to start it this week. So once I get it going, I'll probably have it done within a few days or a week. So
yeah. Sounds sure good.
That, look out for that, yeah.
Army for Beer Squad had a question. When are you dropping the ID you teased a few weeks back? I don't know which ID it is, but I guess it's something on Instagram or something.
Yeah. I played it on the show. It's called Focus.
That's okay.
Yeah, I put like a little clip of it on Instagram from my Dropbox account. And I basically just said, what do you guys think of this? Because I haven't showed it to anyone. So, and I just basically got flooded with, I think I had over 102 messages or 100, 203, something crazy like that.
Wow.
And I was reposting them just because I thought, oh, wow, you know, I like resharing when people message me because, you know, I like getting messages like that, especially when you're like a producer who needs validation all the time. So I'll take what I can get. So, I was reposting it and obviously other people saw the message and thinking, what are they messaging about? So they went and got the song. So it just kind of like just went a bit crazy.
It kept on going.
I thought I've reshared enough now. I better stop. But yeah, it's a song called Focus. I think we've got it penciled in for March.
Mm-hmm.
I played it on the show today. I started with it. So
with Acre, right?
With Acre, yeah. And the funny story about Acre as well, we wrote this song 2 years ago. It's another ID that people have been asking me about. It's called Never Leave Again. It's kind of like a Revolution 2.0. And we never put it out because it was a very festival focused track. And we thought, with there being no festivals at the moment, it doesn't feel quite appropriate to release a song like that. I feel like it would just come out and people forget about it because no one's going to play it.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, let's hold back on that. And we ended up just holding back for a year on it and then another year. So we're going to put that one out as well. So Focus is going to come out first. And I think Never Leave Again is going to come out like April, May time, which is kind of like my 2019 Revolution sound a little bit. Yeah.
Big shout out to Acre because when I created Wanderlust, it also took me 1.5-2 years to release it.
Yeah, so. She must be thinking, these producers take ages to release these songs.
Yeah. Like, what is wrong with these people?
If you listen to Acre, it's not normally that long, okay?
And you're awesome. Just wanted to let you know as well.
Totally, yeah.
One of the last things that I will always like to ask as well, like you already gave a good tip, but what is the most key thing you can say to people that are listening right now that look up to you to succeed in what you're doing? And to sit down and create music.
Wait, so some advice in terms of to get into making music or like, yeah. Patience, be very, very patient. It takes a while. I was making music for about 4 or 5 years before I got my first release.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads of resources now today to learn how to make music, especially on things like YouTube. You've got loads of tutorials. But importantly, don't try and be someone you're not. Make music that you like that you actually enjoy making, because if you don't enjoy making it, no one else is going to enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
So,
and even if you think that you're sitting in the studio and it's, you think it sounds a bit weird, doesn't matter. It's your sound.
Exactly. Like, the world is very noisy today. There's so many things trying to take up your attention on a daily basis. So try not to let it. Like, everyone's got their own, you know, when you go on, like, you know, things like TikTok, which is probably like the craziest one in terms of attention grabbing, you know, like, people are all trying to, you know, tell the world what they want to do, which is fine, but try not to let their opinions or what they're saying affect how you are as a person.
Just don't sit down in the studio and create something for TikTok.
Exactly.
Please.
Don't make music for TikTok. Make music for you. If anything, you should be, the person you're ultimately making music for is to please yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
And chances are, if you like it, there's probably going to be a good chunk of other people out there on a planet full of 8 billion people that will also like it. So
you just need to find them.
Yeah, you just need to find them. And if you keep putting your, and if you keep being consistent and pushing that music out like everyone else is, they'll find you.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's good advice. Thank you so much for answering these questions.
Yeah, of course.
That's it already. Luke Bond, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, we're going to be back with a new podcast with special guests, also from the UK, Mr. Ben Gold. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. To check full episodes of A State of Trance for free, simply visit arminradio.com. A State of Trance returns next week.